Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. We thank you for joining. I thank you for tuning in tonight. Joining me here, this is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from it's still a sunny, beautiful Radio Ranch day here this July 12th, 2018. And what a day it's been. It has been just beautiful. We had some good rain in town, sprinkled here just a little bit, knocked the dust down, and what a beautiful summer day we've had. Certainly have had some heat this week, but it's a beautiful day today, and glad to be here. We'll have the phone lines open up tonight if you have a comment or a question you'd like to call in, but have some current events again to go over today. Seems like people seem to enjoy hearing about those if they miss the news, or sometimes I get emails in here. People send in and say, hey, have you seen this? I got one of those that came from Brother Doug today. Story out of California. Thought I'd share that with you tonight. And if you want to send us an email, our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. You can also send it to richard@sfaw.org. Comes in here to the same place here at the Radio Ranch at the office. And if you have an interesting story, and some of these we do try to send on to Jason for the SFAW Newswire, and of course that's up at sfawbn.com. That's sfawbn.com, and the complete broadcasting schedule is there as well. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on with the program. And well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to have fellowship with you, as well as to have fellowship with the remnant, Lord. We may not be able to see each other. We may not even speak to one another, but Lord, we know that each other are there. Lord, we know that we gather in the name, and we proclaim it, that name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we also know that your word is true, that wherever two or more gather in that name, you are there also. And Lord, I would dare to say we have two gathered tonight in your name. And so we welcome you and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Be here and guide and direct me, Lord. Give me the words this very hour to say, the thoughts to think. Father, to edify your people, to encourage them to love and good deeds. Father, to encourage myself as we read from your word, Lord, as we see the birth pangs, the struggles, and the trials going on in this time that we live in, Lord, but we understand that you are still on the throne, and that, Lord, we still have the commandments from you, and that your word, your way, still applies to us today. That, Father, that if we will but trust in you, if we will do as the old hymn says, trust and obey, then, Lord, we will find our happiness and our joy and Lord, our salvation in you. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to that cross. Lord, we remember that daily, that you went to that cross to die for us and to redeem us and to bring us back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, that, Lord, we can walk in his ways and draw nearer to him. And him, our God, draw nearer to us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessings on the remnant tonight, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear, that your protection and blessings and mercy would be upon all that are yours, all that call you Lord, and that not only praise you with their lips, but Lord, that they honor you with all that they have with their heart and with all that they think, say, and do. We thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for those truth junkies out there. We pray all this to the glory of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And amen. And we do have the phone lines open if you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. Seems like some nights we don't have time to get them open, but we'll have them open tonight if you'd like to call in. And had a couple of things from Europe that caught my attention this week. Just been back in the office basically today. We have been down at the print shop printing the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And we've got that in the mail, and it is on its way to you if you are on the Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list. And, of course, we don't share that list or allow it up on the Internet or anything like that. It's under lock and key. But if you would like to receive the Dragon Slayer, if you don't, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can also send us that email, preacher@sfaw.org or richard@sfaw.org, and say, hey, send me that Dragon Slayer. I'm in the office working on the online version today, and hopefully wrap it up tomorrow, and we'll get that emailed out to those that request the email version of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And this is volume 5 of 2018 that we just completed and just got printed and in the mail Wednesday, just yesterday afternoon. And so excellent articles in it. We'd encourage you to get that Dragon Slayer newsletter. We don't charge for it. There's not a subscription price. We don't put a price on it. It is made available because of the faithfulness of the remnant, because there are those out there that desire to be a part of this ministry that continues to put the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, and unashamedly proclaims His name, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the only way to get to God the Father. So says the Scripture. No man, He says, no man comes to the Father except through Him. No man, no matter how many priests they have, no matter how many Buddha temples they visit, no matter how many Islamic quests they might go on, no one goes and gets to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. It is as simple as that. That's not a very politically correct attitude to have today. It's not very inclusive. No, rather, it is as exclusive as you want it to be. It's kind of like if you have a problem in your life and somebody comes up and says, you know, bud, you got a problem there. Maybe you're cutting, bleeding. And somebody comes up and says, hey there, buddy, you're cutting, bleeding. And then they walk off. Well, thanks a lot for telling me what I already knew. What we're to do as Christians is, when we see that there's problems, when we see maybe a sinful lifestyle, it's not that we just point that out, certainly in love and not in judgment, but we don't leave them hanging there. We have to make sure we let people know the good news. The good news that, yes, Jesus, there is only one way to God the Father. But it's through the Son, Jesus Christ. Not just believing Him, but obeying Him. Doing what He said to do. Not doing what He said not to do. Obeying His precepts and His laws. Not for righteousness' sakes. No, not for righteousness. Because there is none righteous but Him. But for obedience, and for honor. And we are as obedient as we can. No, we're not saved by following the law, not at all. But yet the law is still there. And we still do our best. But we understand that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But not, again, that faith is not just believing. It's also in being a doer of the word. And we understand that. And we understand that especially, that applies to the settlers and the Christians here, the true Christian followers here in this new Zion, in this new Jerusalem, that is bounded by an eastern sea and a western sea. This land, that this nation that was born in a day, yea, can that happen? And I say, yes, it has happened. This land of unwalled villages, never seen before in any of the Old Testament times. Not even in the New Testament times, where they were, everything there in the Middle East and the Far East was walled villages with guards and watchmen. And so, yes, we are the new Zion. We are the new Jerusalem. But there is a great responsibility that comes with that, that we have fallen short of fulfilling. A great and terrible responsibility of obeying God and of teaching others that. And not just sitting back on the couch and growing fat and lazy, watching the boob tube, getting stupider and stupider. The old TV commercial about the female, oh, you've come a long way, baby. Well, you know what? We have too. We've come a long way down. We have fallen. If you stay tuned, before the end of the broadcast, I've got some notes here, so what do we do? We realize where we're at. What do? And we'll talk about that here toward the end of the broadcast. A couple of current events. I saw this, and we've talked about the drug addictions and the increase in drug deaths, whether it's prescription drug deaths and accidents by doctors, or the opioid crisis that is just running through white middle class America for the most part. It is a plague, and certainly there are older people that die of the opioid crisis and the opioid addictions and overdoses, and there are young people as well, and there's other races, but it is predominantly white Christian America, white Christian middle America, maybe not Christian, but middle class white America are the majority of the people that are succumbing to this opioid crisis and are dying from it. Well, it's not just here. Over in Scotland, drug deaths have reached a record high in Scotland, and Scotland's drug death rate, which increased 8% from 2016 to 2017, an 8% rise, is 2.5 times more per capita than England and than Wales, and it's higher than any other European Union country. And so we are seeing that it is not just that we're having the drug deaths here in this country. It's not just that that even in Scotland and the rest of the EU, they're being invaded by these foreigners. But that more and more people there are losing their life to these drug overdoses. Hey, I see the phone line ringing. Let's go take a call. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard.
Good evening.
Every now and then I come across these street preachers on YouTube, out doing their thing, and overwhelmingly you'll see a certain thing happen. Like here was a couple of them that I saw just in the last week, and the guy's standing there. He's got a big pole, and he's got a huge sign on it that said, and he's got a whole list of different things on there, and it says, don't sin these sins, you'll go to hell.
It says what? And don't what? Don't sin these sins?
Don't sin these sins, you'll go to hell. Or if you're sinning these sins, you're going to go to hell. So, in almost every case, you'll have these people will come up and get very, very upset about what they see on that sign, because these are things that is very prevalent in our society these days. Committing adultery,
yes,
homosexuality, and et cetera, et cetera. So now here, here was an example of something. This he was in front of a Catholic school, and a bunch of these girls had come out, and they stopped and looked at the sign, and most of them looked at it and just kind of shrugged their shoulders a little, and didn't have much to say or think about it. But this one was really, really ticked about this sign, She says, she looks at the sign and she goes, how can you stand here and say this? He goes, because the Bible tells us, exactly this. This list is in there. She says, but that's so judgmental to come out here and say that. She looks at the sign and she goes, we all sin. Everybody sins. So how can you stand there with this sign? And he says, because the Bible says you shouldn't be doing these things. But he didn't really have exactly the right answer for her. This devolved into a stupid situation pretty quick after this point here.
Sure.
Now, you know, if you look, you got your Bible there?
I do.
Okay. 1 John 1.
Let's see, 1 John, that's New Testament, isn't it?
Right.
1 John 1, 8. That's right. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Okay.
If we say
we have not sinned,
right,
we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, so that's basically like what she's hitting us with, or hitting that guy with.
Right.
But you go down to the next chapter, just right below this, into verse 3, and hereby we do know him. We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, now you go a page over to chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. And you know that he is manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay, now, this looks to be like a contradiction to what you just saw a couple chapters earlier, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here he's telling you, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. But he's not telling you this is just like in that you're forgiven the sin. No, he's telling you, right there he said, whoever sinneth hath not seen him. So you're dealing with actual circumstances here, not just that you've done the sin, but because you're in God or in Jesus that you're forgiven the sin, so therefore you're not guilty of it. No, he's not saying that. He's saying if you're doing the sin, you've not seen him. But then, if you go just a little bit further into chapter 5, here's where he explains this out to you. Chapter 5, 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. He's very specific here. He's pointing out specific sin. If any man sees a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. All right. So now here is the real complete kicker punchline. We know that whosoever is born of God, which would be reborn, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, born again, keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. All right, so what he's telling you here looks to be almost a contradiction of what you read in the very first beginning of this, where he said, well, if you sin, you say you sin, you say you don't have sin, well, you're a liar. But here he's telling you that we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. I mean, you're actually stopping it. And the wicked one, which means the devil and the demons, toucheth him not. All right, so there's a situation here that he's explaining to you, and he's also told you here in 16 that there is two different types of sin. And there's the answer to this. The early church knew this. The early church explains this out to you in their writings. Everybody sins, but no Christian that has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is ever going to be sinning sins that are unto death. There's a difference, and you need to know the difference between sins and sins unto death, because, and he's telling you that this exists right here. It's not like somebody just made this up as a man-made religion somewhere down the road. John's telling it to you right here. There's two different types, and that's the situation. Everybody sins petty sins all the time. Even the best of Christians, you're going to do that. I mean, you know, can you tell me that there's even the most righteous woman that doesn't get jealous of another woman's Gucci bag or this or that for, you know, just a fleeting second or something?
Right.
Well,
it's evident that there's sin in the land, that we can't not sin because we're born into that sin nature when we're born into this world.
Right, but once you are reborn, once you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't be doing those sins unto death anymore.
Absolutely.
You'll still be doing these little petty things all the
right.
time. That you're getting great an ongoing grace of, and you should be getting cleaned up of that. But
right.
no person that is, you know, he's telling you here, whosoever is born of God, then if not, you shouldn't be doing those.
Right. Right. Once we are born of God, once we are born again, once we have repented and been properly baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we have that advocate. We have that Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. We have Jesus, our advocate, that has paid the price, has done what he needed to do. But then, yeah, we still have to do what we have to do. And when we do that, we have that ability to, as the Bible says, to practice righteousness and not to be practicing lawlessness.
Let me ask you this. I'll ask you a question here. I know this is going to sound like a terrible question, but I don't mean that. Don't take this personally in any way. I'm just doing it for an example. Do you ever desire to have sex with another male?
No.
No, you don't. Why?
Well, because I know it's a sin. It's just unnatural. No,
right.
No,
you
it's unnatural.
It. You wouldn't even think to do it.
Right.
Do you desire to bang other women besides your wife?
No.
No, you wouldn't think to do it. You love your wife.
Absolutely.
You're faithful to it. You wouldn't think to do it. But see, that's the way that a proper Christian should be with all of those death-bringing sins.
Sure.
You shouldn't be thinking about committing adultery. You shouldn't
right.
be thinking about I'm gonna shoot my neighbor in the head and steal his stuff the next time nobody's watching. You know, or et cetera, et cetera. These things shouldn't even be. See, if you're really right with God, you're not restraining yourself from doing the sin. See, if you're still thinking about wanting to do it, and you're only not doing it because you're afraid of being punished, you're not right with God, because you're still guilty of it. Jesus tells you in one of these passages, I don't have it right before me, tells you, you know, whoever is desiring to commit adultery with some woman
has
already done it. You're guilty
you're
of
just
it, even
as
though
guilty.
You haven't carried it out.
Absolutely.
You're guilty of it.
Absolutely.
So. So there's the thing, and that's Jesus' words. That's red letter stuff there. You know, if you're holding yourself back from doing it just because you're afraid that you're going to go to hell for it, well, you're not really right.
Yep, absolutely. That is and it's a shame that more people don't have that understanding that is not taught. So, well, hey, Bob, good talking to you. I got another caller here. We're going to try to get it, but excellent point. Appreciate
have a good one.
Appreciate the call. And good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Oh, good evening, Richard. I just wanted to call in and thank you and all the remnant, everyone at the ministry, and especially Jesus Christ, for your great program on Thursday nights. And I want to thank you for each Wednesday night, the prayer meeting. And I just felt led to call and express my thankfulness for the many, many, much help that I receive from the ministry about getting truth. It's,
sure, brother.
It's a blessing. We're very limited on our sources of getting truth, real truth, and I just wanted to thank you and everyone at the ministry and the remnant. I'm just so thankful to all of you, and I love you all.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
This is Don, and I'm calling from Virginia.
Sure, Don.
Yeah, thank y'all. Thank you so much.
All right, brother.
Thank you. I'm listening. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, folks, it's that easy to give a call if you want. 307-745-5913. And amen, Brother Don. And we are so privileged to have been able to have our eyes open to Bible truths and to the being able to see that, you know, the things that are happening around us are not always just as they're reported, and not always as maybe those of the world see. And as our brother called in and mentioned about that sin, that we realize that more and more what our Lord and Savior did for us when He went to that cross, when He died to redeem us from that sin, when He became that He became our Passover lamb. He was that unblemished lamb that way back that we read about, and I brought it up in a communion talk just a couple weeks ago, that God's instructions for the children of Israel for the death angel to pass over them was they had to take that unblemished lamb and they had to kill it, and they had to put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. And when the death angel saw that blood, he would pass over them. He passed over those that believed and were obedient to the word. And Jesus Christ is our Passover. And when we partake of the blood that He shed, and when we realize and remember what He did for us, and we believe, certainly, but when we are also obedient and we apply His blood to our lives, when we share in His death, and we do that by realizing that we are, yes, all men are sinners, all men are liars, but we realize that we've sinned and we repent, and then we share in His death when we are baptized by immersion for the forgiveness of sins. That is when we contact that blood of Christ. That is when that blood is applied. He's already died. It's been shed, like that lamb that was slain for the first Passover. But it's applied. It is applied when we contact that blood, when we share in that with Him, in that baptism. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which renews our mind. We are that new creation. We are no longer we no longer just appraise things physically, but we are able to. Not, it's not a pride thing. It's nothing for us to be proud about, but we are able to have the gift of the Holy Spirit and appraise things spiritually. And then we no longer practice that lawlessness and that sin that our former self did. But as a new creation, our minds are renewed, the Bible tells us, just as our bodies are. But our minds are renewed that to where those thoughts, they're not there. Now we may be tempted with those thoughts, but we have the ability to take every thought captive, to destroy speculations, and the Bible talks about that, destroying speculations, what ifs, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 6, those that will not inherit the kingdom, it doesn't apply, because as it says in the next verse there in 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed. And that means baptized. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And so we no longer walk in those ways that we formerly did. And that is a recurring theme throughout the New Testament. Because when we've had a lifetime one way, and then we're reborn, and then it's time to start a new life. And we are reminded through the New Testament writings that we can do that, and that we are to do that. As our brother said, Jesus Christ Himself said He did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Now, shouldn't we take that as our example? And we should not be here to judge the world, but to lead others to Christ and to let others know of the good news, because the word judges. And that's what Jesus said. the word itself judges. You know, our Bible reading plan for today is Philippians 1 and 2. And what a blessing this has been. And when you read through it, you can we're not much for letters these days. We text and we tweet and we leave messages and we email, and we're not much for really for writing and all that anymore, it seems like, these days. But when you read the beginning of this, just the love that exudes out of this to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to those of Philippi, the church there. They had blessed him. He was imprisoned. They had sent financial gifts to him. Maybe they paid for some of his legal fees. Maybe they paid for his lodging. It wasn't like he was locked away in a deep, dark dungeon, but he was imprisoned. And so he writes through this, and he praises God all through it. He does. And he encourages them again in verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's not admonishing them, telling them that they're not. He's just reminding them that, brethren, this is what we are to do. This is what we are to do. And he goes on and says that I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And you know, it's not that we preach unity. It's not that we are trying to unify the Christians, even the Anglo-Israel different ministries that are out there. But we are to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, like I started tonight, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world today is as lost as it's ever been. And they are, one of the reasons these street preachers have so much problem when they point out sin is because it is a sinful world. And people get defensive when you point out their sin, whether it's just a little something or it's something big that is a sin that will lead to death and destruction. And a foreverness away from God. But we still put it out. We continue to put it out on the airwaves. We continue to tell our friends and family, no, we don't hurl lightning bolts in judgment. That's not what Jesus did. He spoke with compassion. He asked questions. And he led by example. And I think that is that example that we should have in our lives today. That we should, as Paul writes here, that we should be standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I like this here in verse 28. It reminds me of being strong and courageous that we read about back in Joshua. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. And when we are not alarmed, when we understand that we may not agree with fellow followers of Jesus Christ 100% with everything, we may not have the same exact same outlook and understanding of the Scriptures, but when we strive together for the faith of the gospel, and we are not alarmed by what our opponents do, then they understand that that is a sign of destruction for them and a sign of salvation for us. It is moving closer to that perfect obedience. And we have to understand that that perfect obedience is not just the way that I understand the gospel and just the way that maybe I was taught, or just my understanding of it, or just your understanding of it. But it truly is. It truly is outlined in the Scripture here. standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I love these nuggets that when we will sit down and just take just a little bit of time, doesn't take a lot of time, a little bit of time and read a short verse or two, a short chapter or two in the Bible, the nuggets that pop out. The nuggets that pop out. How about this reminder? In here, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness. Let me start in verse 1. And this is Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And what is that purpose? What is that purpose? Is it not to glorify Christ? Is it not to tell others of what He's done for us? Is it not to but to live our lives and to work every day like we are working purposefully and working directly for Jesus Christ our Lord? Is not that one purpose, again, to glorify Him and to bring others, to be able to share one another's burdens? We've talked about that. That has just popped up lately. And fulfill the law of Christ? Isn't that the one purpose we should have? It goes on, and then in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And when we do that, I think that does fulfill the law of Christ. It is obedience. It is moving further and further to perfect obedience. For righteousness, not for righteousness. No. No. But to glorify Christ. To glorify Christ. I like verse 14. How about this? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And then it goes on and says why to do that. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So, do you want to prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent? Doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do. And as it says here, do all things without grumbling or disputing. How many times do we do that? Have we made that step? Have we made that progression towards obedience in that area? You know, sometimes I think God will test us with this. Not us testing Him, but Him testing us to see. And sometimes these things happen, I think, when things are going pretty good. When the bills are paid and relationships are good and the health is good and work is good and we're just maybe ahead of the game a little bit, and then something comes up that, well, what do you mean I need to do that? What do you mean I need to drive that vehicle? What do you mean I need to clean that toilet? What do you mean I need to go do this? And we can't think of things that it talks about here, do all things, as those things being beneath us. Jesus washed His disciples' feet. That was the job of a slave. That was the servant's job. We don't think about and remember that enough. That our Lord and Savior came. He said He came not to be served, but to serve. Now, He certainly was served. His feet were washed as well, sometimes with tears. Tears of joy, of the forgiveness that had been given. Because where there is much forgiveness, there is much joy. What a beautiful story that is in the Bible. What a beautiful story that is for us today. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, to prove yourselves blameless and innocent. And we are only blameless when we are in Christ, when we are truly in Christ, when we are doing these things, when we are truly doing these things. Well, didn't get to the current events. Don't think I'm going to have time tonight, but we'll maybe they'll hold for next week if maybe the volcano hasn't blown and a tidal wave taken half of California out where they're trying to get rid of all the white people out of colleges anyway. But we'll talk about that. But this, you know, in reading in Philippians tonight, that just seems to be where we're at, that looking at I've got a book here. It's from Holman, and it talks about understanding the Bible and just some key points. And one of the key points it makes here is that the forms of the noun joy and rejoice, joy and rejoice occur 16 times in this letter to the Philippians. And when we read through it, we see that, like it says, do all things without grumbling. You know, we are to rejoice. It says that in Philippians 3, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. I like here what it says in Philippians 3. It's tomorrow's Bible reading. So maybe we'll get a little bit ahead here. But in verse 13, it says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. And that means that being perfect. Let's start in verse 12. He says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He was perfect. We are not. We are to strive towards that in that perfect obedience. Brethren, verse 13, he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. One thing the Apostle Paul does and did and wrote to the church here to encourage them. He says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's the prize. That's what we strive for. That's why we run the race. That's why we do our best to do all things without grumbling. If nothing else, if you will do that, what an example, as it says here. You will be a light in the dark world when you do that. When we volunteer, and when we're volunteering, if we volunteer to scrub the floor or the toilets or the greasy, grimy stove, and we do it without grumbling, what an example that we set of the joy and the rejoicing that we have because of our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, talked about, so what do we do? We do. We have this land we live in, this time, this... I mentioned it in a newsletter article in this Volume 5 newsletter about the volcanoes and the earthquakes, and we talked about that here a couple weeks ago, I think. And so what do we do? Well, we don't fear, but what are we to do? We've just got a few minutes left tonight, and so I'll try to leave you with this. And one of the big things we have to do, we have to trust. You know, we have a lot of trust and faith in this land today. It's just in the wrong areas. It's just in the wrong ways. But when we trust in the Lord, got a couple verses here I'll share with you on that, the peace and the joy it brings, we're able to do things like all things without grumbling or complaining. It gives us that peace. Psalms 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord. And then that sacrifice of righteousness, I've got crossed over with Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, and it says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect." So what are we to do? We're to praise, right? With our words, it says, with the fruit of our lips, we give thanks. That is the offer. That is the offering up of the sacrifice of praise that Psalms 4 talks about. And verse 16 says, "Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." Those things please God. We can be a light in the world by doing things without grumbling or complaining. And when I read this here in Psalms 4 that we are to offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and Hebrews 13 telling us that that is praise to God, the fruit of the lips giving thanks to his name. We go back to Revelations as we wrap up tonight. And what is it, Revelations? Is it 12, 11? And when it talks about us overcoming, and if you're not that familiar with it, let's read it real quick. Revelations, I think it's 12, 11. Is that what it is? Yes. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony." The blood of the Lamb, that blood that was shed and allows us to be overcomers. That was his part. And what is our part? The word of our testimony. The word, the praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. "For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." God is pleased. You know, in Psalms 37, we continue to, it kind of continues on this same. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord." These are the things we're to be doing. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining. Commit your way to the Lord, verse 5 says here. Delight yourself in the Lord. When we do that, it shows, it proves our trust in him. "Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him," it says. "Cease from anger. Forsake wrath." Trust. Dwell. Delight. Commit your way. Rest in him. Cease from anger. This is what we do every day. Hopefully we've done it today. Hopefully we do it a little bit better tomorrow. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the phone calls. And as we wrap up tonight, again, we thank you, all of you that support us with your prayers and your financial gifts, your tithes and your offerings. That keeps us on the air. That is the only thing that keeps us on the air, is your prayers and your financial support. There is no other source of income for this ministry except the Remnant. We want to make sure that you know that. And we thank you again for joining us. We will be back live on Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. Eastern for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We encourage you, join us there. God bless.
God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent.
That's what you are.